Welcome to The Source. I'm Paul Flavin for David Martin Davies. They say that justice delayed is justice deferred, but in federal courtrooms across the country and across Texas, caseloads and delays on everything from sentencing to trial hearings, justice is on hold. Some wait twice the national average for a hearing, others languish in jails waiting to be sentenced. The reason? Too few judges and too many unfilled judgeships. But the problem isn't new, and it isn't being addressed promptly. Some point to Senate foot-dragging as the main culprit. Here in Texas, Senators Cruz and Cornyn are overseeing nominees for the 9 vacancies the state has, more than any other state. Have you dealt with the federal court system? Tell us your stories, comments, and questions by calling 210-614-8980 or email us at thesource@tpr.org. You can find us on Twitter at @tprsource. Joining me to talk about judicial vacancies are Nan Aaron, president of the Alliance for Justice, a left-leaning advocacy group that's been following the vacancy issue closely, especially here in Texas. And also joining us is Alicia Bannon, counsel for the Brennan Center's Democracy Program at NYU. Alicia, Nan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having us.
This is an issue across the country, Alicia Bannon. Give us some context. How long has it been going on and why?
Well, you know, since President Obama took office, we've seen a long trend of unusually high levels of vacancies at both the trial and appellate level. I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think Senate obstruction has been one important aspect of that. For many years, we were seeing the operation of the filibuster and other tools of obstruction to slow down nominations when the Democrats held the majority in the Senate. We've also seen delays in the consultation process with the White House in identifying nominees to begin with. On the part of the White House, I think at least in the initial years, there was also some slowness in moving forward, you know, with identifying nominees, although I think they sped up that process in recent years. And what we're seeing right now is, you know, I think some continued delays in the consultation process with between senators and the White House, particularly in identifying new nominees. So it's a problem that's been going on for quite some time now and is having a real impact on all the individuals and businesses that rely on our courts to resolve their disputes and protect their rights.
Nan Aaron, maybe you can explain the process a little bit briefly. Why is it so important that senators from the states are involved? I don't know that people understand how the nomination process works.
Sure. Typically, district court judges are selected on the basis of a conversation between the White House and home state senators. And generally speaking, it's up to the home state senators, in this case Cruz and Cornyn, to make suggestions to the White House as to prospective nominees. There's always been historically this agreement that the two sides, the White House and the senators, will develop a consensus around nominations to the district courts. As for the courts of appeal, typically the choice is made by the White House. The Obama White House has done something unprecedented, and that is it has not only come up with a slate of candidates, but it runs the names of candidates by home state senators to see if they're pleased with the nominee before they'll send the nominee's name to the Senate. This means that in a state like Texas, where both home state senators are Republicans and the White House is obviously Democratic, it creates, a robust conversation between the White House and the Senate. And this is the crux of the problem. As you said in your introduction, Texas is at the epicenter of what is a growing judicial vacancy crisis. And that is because the home state senators have delayed, taken their time to get names to the White House for district court seats, and when the White House has suggested names for circuit court seats, the home state senators have raised objections. This has a very human consequence, and that is individuals across the state of Texas are having difficulty getting their cases heard. And this is not simply civil rights plaintiffs, employment discrimination plaintiffs, but the problem is now so extensive that business groups are also complaining about the dearth of judges sitting on their courts in the state.
Now, Alicia Bannon, you had written a long report about this last year, talking about the Eastern District of Texas, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what sacrifices clients in criminal cases are having to make in order to have their day in court.
Absolutely. So we did a study last year looking at interviewing judges, court administrators, practitioners in districts around the country that have been impacted by longstanding judicial vacancies, including in the Eastern District of Texas. And, you know, I mean, what we found was, you know, very consistent concerns being raised about delays in hearing cases, so that it was taking much longer for cases to actually go to trial, for motions to be resolved, leaving people in oftentimes in limbo. You know, and several judges also identified that, you know, they had less time to spend on cases. You know, one judge described it as simple math. When you have fewer judges, it means that they can't give every case the same kind of care that they would do if they were fully staffed. And, you know, some of these issues have been playing out particularly in Texas, in the Eastern District, which is a very geographically dispersed district. And so, you know, one particular division in the Eastern District is in Sherman, Texas, where due to vacancies, you had judges from other parts of the district routinely traveling 350 miles each way to help hear cases because you didn't have enough judges on the ground in Sherman to actually move through the dockets. And, you know, that was causing real delays both within Sherman and then for those judges hearing their other cases as well. What was particularly notable was some of the impact on criminal cases because Sherman also has one of the highest criminal dockets in the country. And so with being short-staffed in that way, we were seeing a number of delays both in terms of sentencing as well as individuals waiting for trial, sometimes sitting in jail waiting for a trial. One criminal defense attorney I spoke with talked about one of his clients where she wanted to defend herself in court, so that she had some co-defendants who had pled guilty, and she was waiting in jail waiting for her criminal case to be heard. Her co-defendants who had pled guilty were going to be released from jail before she was even going to get a trial. And as he put it, you know, the pressure that puts on people to plead guilty in some cases can almost be overwhelming. You know, you get out sooner if you pled guilty versus waiting and, you know, demanding your right to a trial.
That's incredible that they are actually seeing their what would be co-conspirators maybe in that case getting out before they're even having a chance to talk to a judge about their case. So I want to bring this home for people in San Antonio. We're in the Western District of Texas, which includes a district in Pecos, Texas, which earlier this year, 3 months ago, was labeled an emergency vacancy by the Administrative Office of U.S. Courts. The judge there, Robert Junell, gave a year's notice on his retirement to give senators ample time to screen candidates, but Senators Cornyn and Cruz didn't solicit applications for the vacancy until 2 months after his retirement. Now judges in San Antonio and El Paso are having to drive hundreds of miles and hours a day to carry those cases. I want to play a quick interview I did Friday with Federal Public Defender for the Western District of Texas, Maureen Franco, and Deputy Public Defender Donna Coltharp. The first voice you will hear is Ms. Franco's. And the question, what in this 3-month-old emergency vacancy, what impact is it having on the district?
Well, it has an incredible impact on our district because it's requiring judges from the San Antonio Division and the El Paso Division to travel hundreds of miles to sit and hear cases. And it's a very, very commonly 70 cases are heard at a time on a day. And that's in addition to both districts having both divisions having huge dockets in and of themselves. And so it has had a horrible impact on both the San Antonio Division and the El Paso Division judges.
As someone who oversees lawyers that are having to go before these judges that have just traveled 6 hours to hear a case, what impact does it have on the disposition or the, you know, the temperament of the courtroom when that happens?
Surprisingly, the judges, what my people in Alpine are telling me is that the judges that have traveled from El Paso and from San Antonio have been extremely pleasant and appreciative of all the hard work that the lawyers on both sides, the federal defenders and the U.S. attorneys, are doing. It gave them a greater appreciation of what goes on in that division because it is a very busy division.
I think it was Judge Philip Martinez had written a letter saying that they were in a desperate situation and saying that if they had more judges, these cases would be getting more attention. Can you speak to, either of you speak to, what that kind of frequency of cases means for each case's attention?
Well, I think that our district judges go out of their way to see every defendant as an individual. When you have those type of numbers, you can't do that. They become a statistic. They become the face sheet of a pre-sentence report where they're looking at the picture of the defendant and trying to figure out, you know, what would be in the best interest of this client. The law charges them to look at sentencing factors, what we call the 3553A factors, which include their history, the type of offense they committed, the needs of society to punish them and to rehabilitate them. And unfortunately, they can't do that if they have a huge caseload on their own, and then they're traveling out of their district to take care of it as well. So I think that it's not ideal at all, and I think that they are worried about being able to maintain the integrity of what they do by having to take on this extra duty.
What does it mean for your clients when you are having to deal with judges that are traveling out of the area who already have long caseloads? What's it meaning for your clients in terms of the delays and things like that?
The judges in the district are really trying, and to their credit, this is a problem they've identified and they've asked for help on. And in Texas, because our districts are so huge, we've always had to be creative, you know, both the judges and counsel, in making sure that criminal defendants get the process that they're due. If there aren't enough judges on the bench, then it requires more creativity from all of us. And sometimes that means being extraordinarily sure that you're not wasting anybody's time. Being, as Maureen said, very efficient in how you run the docket. And I think the concern is, and I don't think we're there, but when you're talking about days with 70 defendants in court, right, the concern is that at some point the due process line will get crossed. And I think that's why Judge Martinez was so concerned, not that we've hit that point, but we cannot work 24-hour days. They can't do it either.
I will tell you that Judge Moses, who's all by herself in Del Rio, is scheduled to be in Pecos, the month of October. That's her turn is in October. And I can't imagine, hopefully she's going to get some help in Del Rio and get some visiting judges in Del Rio to help her, because that's an extremely busy division in and of itself, and she's the only one there. So I think that she's willing to come up and do her duty in Pecos too, shows that they really all have a commitment to helping each other out and making sure that the defendants are not sitting around without getting sentenced, without their due process. But it's extraordinary that she's by herself and that she's willing to come up and do that in October.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Deputy Public Defender Donna Coltharp and Public Defender Maureen Franco talking about how the judicial shortages are affecting people on the ground in San Antonio and the Western District of Texas. We're talking about the federal judiciary, the vacancy crisis. It's Texas is ground zero. I want to take a quick call. Andrew has called in 210-614-8980. If you have a question for us, Andrew, you're on the line. What's your question?
Yeah, so I read somewhere recently about a quote from Majority Leader McConnell saying that as presidents get towards the end of their term, the Senate at some point stops considering nominations from them for the bench. Have we reached that point in the Obama term? Is this traditional? Is this extraordinary? Like, is there a precedent for the delay and the lack of nominations?
Andrew, great question. Nan Aaron, can you give us some context for that?
Sure. There generally is a delay. The last year, or more typically the last 6 months of a president's last term. But in this instance, what we're seeing is something highly unusual, and that is only 5 nominees have been confirmed to judgeships. 5. Compare that number to George W. Bush's judges who were confirmed, and 68 of those were confirmed. 73 of President Clinton's and 84 of President Reagan's. So we would expect to see some slowdown, but we would never have thought that the slowdown would begin this early and with this many vacancies and judicial emergencies. So this is very unusual for a president's second term. In fact, if you look at the last 2 years of George W. Bush's second term, 3 judges were confirmed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. There are now 2 vacancies on that circuit, and no names have been sent forward by the senators or White House for those 2 vacancies. So I think it's important to put what's happening in perspective, and that perspective is that when Democrats were in charge of judgeships, and I remember Patrick Leahy during those last 2 years of Bush's second term insisting that 3 nominees be confirmed to the Fifth Circuit. In contrast, both Texas senators have simply been playing politics with those seats, hoping for a future Republican president to be elected, and thereby allowing that president to fill those seats. It would be a shame. It would be a travesty for the people of Texas to be without 2 other judges on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
We reached out to Senator John Cornyn's office to come on the program. We were unable to secure that interview, but he did recently pen a letter to the San Antonio Express News editors. He pointed out that 12 judicial court confirmations since 2009, as well as establishing in 2013 the Federal Judiciary Evaluation Committee, a bipartisan committee of Texas jurists to identify qualified candidates. Nan or Alicia, can you speak to, obviously 12 is a big number, but not in maybe 6 years. And how do you respond to that? And do you know if this committee that he appointed has had any real impact? I mean, we have 9 vacancies and we have, last I checked, 0 nominations.
Yeah, I mean, the commission is doing an excellent job. It routinely conducts an investigation of any names it receives for judgeships. The problem is, and the challenge is that the commission hasn't been receiving enough names for some of these vacancies. It's interesting to note that when President Obama came into office, all the seats were filled in Texas. There were no vacancies. At this moment, there are 9 vacancies, and compounding the problem is that the Judicial Conference, under the leadership of Chief Justice John Roberts, has actually called for 9 additional seats. That gives you a sense of how many cases, and in fact, there's a caseload of 12,000, a backlog of 12,000, gives you a sense is not only do we have 9 seats currently remaining unfilled, but the judicial conference wants an additional 9 to handle this backlog and increasing caseload.
And doing their research for this, it looked like they hadn't increased the number of judges since 2002. I do want to make time to take another call. Roberto is called in. Roberto is on the line. Go ahead, Roberto.
Yes, this is Roberto Pachecano from Michael, Texas. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening with interest regarding the human side of delaying trials and so forth. But are we keeping, or is someone keeping track of the monetary cost? In other words, a judge doesn't go from Del Rio to Pecos, Texas for a month without being paid or compensated in a just manner, particularly for food and housing. So you have a per diem and you have a mileage cost. So
right.
If you track all of that, all of those costs together, will the two senators of Texas who are always adamant about lowering taxes and not spending money, will they consider the millions of dollars that I'm just throwing the million dollars?
Sure, sure, sure. Roberto, let's get an answer for that. Alicia Bannon, you've looked at this, and it's not just, you know, people traveling across their own districts. It's sometimes people traveling from out of state. Do you have any numbers on the cost to taxpayers that we're talking about?
You know, it's a great question. I don't have exact numbers, but the caller is precisely right that there are a number of costs associated with these vacancies. You know, as you said, you know, judges traveling in sometimes from other districts, sometimes from out of state that need to be housed, et cetera. Also, you know, in the Eastern District of Texas, because there were all of these delays with sentencing, you had all of these defendants were being held in a county facility because there was no federal facility on site, and so there were extra costs associated with that as well. You know, in addition to direct costs to the government, there can also be substantial costs to the litigants, to the people who are appearing in court. So, you know, I've heard many stories about, you know, because, well, one, trials are delayed, that can lead to more costs for paying for attorneys, et cetera. If you have, sometimes trials ended up being held outside of the division where they normally would be held. And, you know, so you had lawyers traveling to appear before a judge somewhere else, and the client had to pick up the tab for that. So there's a lot of costs associated, not just for the government, but also for all the people who are appearing in court.
Right, right. Well, Nan Aaron for Alliance for Justice, Alicia Bannon at the Brennan Center, thanks for joining us to talk about this. Well, last final point I wanted to make was in talking to those two public defenders in the federal court system, they said a lot of the judges they see in Texas are aging and they're delaying their retirements. That's all the time we have for this segment. We'll be back in 8 minutes after the NPR news break.